Whatever I say, welcome back to Lessons from the Lathe. Parsha Tazria Mitzora. This week's Parsha, we will learn the topic of choosing a life path. A little funny ditty this week, a little joke on the sign, but I think it's true. So those that didn't see the sign, and those are in the world of the web. So it has a picture of a cemetery. Unfortunately, it's a not Jewish cemetery. Now that I look at it, there's some crosses there. And there's a person in 6 feet under and says, "Hey, I think I finally decided what to do with my life." Right? He chose his life path a little bit too late. And it says, Fred raises the late bloomer bar to a new level. But the joke is true. When will we choose our life path? And I would like to submit to you this evening that this now is the time for you to choose your life path. You are but a few days away from the end of Shana Aleph. And if you think I'm lying about that, you know, every week, I think, but in 2 weeks from now, is not a full week in yeshiva. There's only a few days of learning left. And it's now for you time to grow up and for you to realize, what am I going to do with my life? And for some people, this is the time where they change what they thought was their life path because they grew up in, you know, some sort of society where they thought, I got to do this, I got to do that. And they always wanted to be a fireman, and now they don't want to do that. Or now they have a life path that's going to lead them to Israel. So they realize that being this type of, whatever it might not be good for them. Or maybe they're going to go into a certain business field that's not so on. Whatever it might be. And that lesson I want to learn with you is something that is so interesting and fundamental to who we are. It was a very interesting case that the Torah gives us in Parshas Mitzora. It tells us the following thing. This is in Perek Yudalad, Pasuk, Lamed Gimel. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron le'mor, ki savo el aretz. When you come to the land of Israel, which is the only place that this item can happen, asher anino sein lachem la'achuza ve'nasati neged tzarat babayet. Eretz achuzas tem. There is a possibility that when you arrive in the land of Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give you a tzaras affliction on your actual home. It's called negabate. Right? So we learn a lot about tzaras in the coming parsha. The Gemara in Erechin tells us that tzaras comes from a number, I think, seven different possible sins that a person could have done. And it goes through them. I don't know, in tradition, the most popular one has been Lashon Hara. That's what everybody seems to quote. The Gemara in Erechin speaks about Lashon Hara, but they're all mitzvos ben adam lechavero, different things that we do wrong to our neighbor, which is, of course, not at all a coincidence that we read this during the time of Sfiras Omer, where we should be concentrating on how we act towards Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. But the real concept over here is, what was this negabatim that we're discussing now? So, number one, Rashi. Rashi says, negabatim, this is unbelievable, b'sura hi lahem. Actually, the person who had, now imagine this, I think about this a lot, this unbelievable busha, embarrassment, right? Imagine you walk out of your home and you have on your face something, and people are like, "Yo, dude, I think you might got saras over there." And you're like, "Oh, man, right?" Worse than that, you wake up one morning and the delivery guy throws the paper to your home and he puts a little stick-em note, "Hey, the back of your house has saras. There's saras growing from it." How embarrassing. Says Rashi, it's a basura toiva. I didn't say basura toiva, it's a basura. It's a good thing. Shanogibam aleyim, the person who had this on his home, they would have to what? Destroy their home. They would have to knock the home down. What is good about this? Lefi, because what happened in the times of the Amoraim, they hid in these homes treasures. In the walls of their home to hide it. Kol Arbeim Shana for 40 years. Nobody would ever found this. Now B'nai Yisrael comes out of the Midbar after 40 years, and guess what? The guy knocks his house down and finds a treasure. He's the richest guy in the world now. Umotzin, he's able to find it. Rashi quoting the Midrash Vayikra Rabbah seemingly is so difficult to understand. I have this horrible thing. I'm all embarrassed. My house is destroyed, and now I find $1 million in my house.
Shkoyach.
This is how God rewards me?
So how do we learn this out? What is it? What's going on over here?
Fascinating pasuk,
nonetheless.
So, number one, just a parenthetical point, next week is Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom HaZikaron. We just finished Yom HaShoah. There's a direct correlation here that this only happened in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, this was Nisim v'Neflos. There's no two ways about it. To have a house start to grow a tzaras, and even on a body, but that's a little bit more normal, was because of the heightened level of Kedusha in the place that you lived, that you were much more aware of your spiritual self. And when we come to the very difficult days of Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut, which many of you have never ever celebrated properly, meaning here in Eretz Yisrael, it's just totally, you can't, you know, in America, you know, very nice, you have bisli and falafel, that's nice, but you'll celebrate it in a way that it's hard to believe. I don't know if you today understood so much because you're in yeshiva all day, so you won't be Yom HaAtzmaut as much, but you see a nation crying today, right? By law, okay, number one, last night, every store was closed in Israel, right? From Shkia. It's a law in Israel. They actually go around certain towns, like unfortunately this one, where people don't care about as much, and they make announcements that the police come around and shut the stores. And no, there's no music allowed to be played on any radio station in the state of Israel during this time. And if you fly El Al does not play any movies that aren't Holocaust related. There's a spiritual heightened level here. And you'll feel that as a Jew next week when you feel the tremendous pain, and you'll be with Klal Yisrael. We do an amazing, amazing trip, and then you go to a great, really inspiring day, and then of course go to Har Herzl. That only happens in Eretz Yisrael. Negabatim doesn't happen where you might have came from. It doesn't exist, that idea. So it's a heightened level of Kedusha. So number one, lesson number one, when you're choosing a life path, this is not a, you know, nefesh b'nefesh meeting right now. I'm not telling you about Aliyah, but Eretz Yisrael always has to be on your mind. Your life path has to include Eretz Yisrael. I don't care if that, I mean, I do care, but that life path might be 20 or 25 years down the line. But it has to be a life path because you have to seek spirituality. Negabatim only happened in this country because the level of spirituality is different than anywhere else in the world. Nikuda, period, nothing to discuss. There's nothing to discuss. We just shared in my last, in our Chabura, that one of my gazillion pet peeves, that you know I have many pet peeves, but one of my gazillion pet peeves is that people speak disparagingly against the land of Israel. I call them Maraglim, but specifically there are some people who say, this trade from Medina, everybody's not from, blah, 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 blah. I say, how can you say that? Here, last night I listened to the speech of the president of Israel, who's not a religious person. And he started off with a vort from the Blujava Rebbe, saying Shechiyonu v'Kiyimonu on the first night of Hanukkah in the ghetto. And he says, and even more so today, we're saying that Shechiyonu today, we get Lazman Hazeh, now a day of Gvura, not just HaShoah, but Gvura. And Psukim, and who doesn't know Pesach is here? Everybody's selling Pesach, everybody says Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Come on. Because it's a spiritual level. It's heightened. Even if you're not affiliated with being religious, you're much more religious than many people because you have an awareness. So your life path has to include that. It has to. How, when, why, that's all for discussion. I get it. Trust me, I understand that. Unfortunately, my life path didn't take me here until I was married for 10 years. It's not easy. Lesson number two. Lesson number two is, so let's answer that question that we started with. This is the punishment of Negabatim, is we're going to become a millionaire? That's pretty good. Let me start speaking Lashon Hara. Hopefully it'll go on my house and I'll become a millionaire. Good, it's a good business move here. You know, let's invest in that. Let's go to the stock market club and present it. The Gemara in Erechin, as we said, gives us the different reasons of what it could be. So what's the justice? Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Beis, says the following line: In Cain, Matzino Chote Neshkar. We see that a sinner is now going to profit from his sins in a very positive way.
Oh, so says Rav Pam, something so beautiful. He says, oh no, he's not profiting. You see, the Gemara tells us in Nida that when a child is born, God determines everything about you, obviously. And in fact, you know this already. You, who's you? Your neshama knows, right? Right? Guess what? Your neshama knows who you're going to marry. Bas ploni leploni, bais ploni leploni, sada ploni leploni. He knows your job, knows everything about you. He knows how many times you're going to have a job, when you're going to have a job, when you're not. He knows everything. So what's the chiddush? How are you going to get that money? How are you going to obtain that money? That's the chiddush, Ezra Pam. And unfortunately for some people, it's going to be through ill-gotten means. God's going to determine this year you're going to make $1 million. Yeah, you don't know that, obviously. How are you going to make $1 million? You're going to work for Bernie Madoff. You made $1 million, and then you're going to go to jail. You're going to make $1 million, you're going to win the lottery, right? What's better, winning the lottery or working hard? I would argue working hard. I was once in the home of a great rabbi, Rav Chaim Cohen, and it was Purim. And my friends told me, you got to go to his house. They go, wonderful, Dayan, Gera Chassid. So we went to his home. They said he'd give brachas out without, you know, when you have, right, like Rabbi Boaz gives brachas here. So you got a little bit of Nichnas Yayin Yotze Soyd. You find out a lot about the person. And you get to. So my friend was before me and he gives him the following bracha. You should have Parnasa Bechavit. Okay, good bracha. And he says, do you understand what I'm saying? He says to the guy. The guy's like, yeah, I should have Parnasa with honor. He goes, I know who your father is. And he's like, what? Again, this is the rabbi a little drunk. And he says, your father's a multimillionaire. So there are two ways that God can give you Parnasa. Either you can work hard and get Parnasa, or you can walk into your father's office as the new vice president, and it'll be like, oh, here he is. The son, who he's a loser. Look at him. Everybody's laughing at him. Yeah. Parnasa b'chavod means you shouldn't be laughed at. You should work hard. And be like, wow, he really earned that. Says Rav Pam, who are you? What is your life path? What are you deciding for yourself? There are some people who are very into numbers. When I used to live in America, so I balanced my checkbook and I had budgets and this and then you move here. I'm like, I don't even understand. Banks send me letters all the time. I don't know what the heck's going on. Everything's always in red. I don't know what that means, but I don't know. There's a lot of negative numbers. I don't know. I don't know how to read Hebrew. There's no nukudot. Forget it. I don't know. I'll tell you a funny story. I shouldn't tell this. When my parents are going to hear the story, they're going to get nervous. So, I'll tell you anyway. It was my son's bar mitzvah. And a few days, I think, if I remember correctly, a few days before the bar mitzvah, things were crazy. Our first bar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, it was crazy stuff. So we decided to take a night, and we went to the Hilton in Tel Aviv, one of the most beautiful hotels. Beautiful, beautiful hotel. Because I had Hilton points, not because I had money. So we go there, whatever, and we're fancy schmancying, eating this fancy, fancy breakfast. Really beautiful. And I get a call. This happens a lot in Israel. I don't know why. They go, hi, I'm calling from Bank of Poland. Would you like a 10,000 shekel loan? I'm like, no, dude, 10 shekel. I don't need 10,000 shekel loan. So I'm like, no, thank you very much. She's like, hello, hello. And I'm like, I don't know if she caught my attention. I'm like, I'm about to hang up. I'm like, hello. This is where you used to hang up. And and I'm like, what? She's like, don't you need a loan? You're negative in your bank. You have no money in the bank. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, sir, I'm looking at your bank account now. You're like negative, you know, a lot of money. I'm like, what? So my wife's like, what's going on? I'm like, nothing, honey. I gotta go to the bathroom. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? So whatever, I just had to transfer. Whatever, the money wasn't in the right account. I had to transfer. But I, for the first time in my life, and Baruch Hashem, I hope my last time, I went into negative in Israel, which is fine, by the way. It's the only country. You can go into negative. They're okay with that. You know, it's a weird, they don't care. You can go into negative. It's fine. No, it's just a question of how much negative. It's like it's a game. It's like Israel is golf. Right? The lower score wins. How much negative you win? Negative 10,000. Negative 10,000? Get out of here! I'm 94,000 in negative. Like, oh, another guy comes, oh, what are you talking about? 194,000. It's a strange thing. Okay, that's a bitachon shiur we can give another time. But, says Rav Pam, you can earn money in different ways. And he says this is an important life lesson. There are situations where a person thinks the only way he can be successful in business is to attain prestige. Or a position is to act dishonestly in an improper manner. And this is exactly what the Gemara in Yuma says. He quotes the Gemara in Yuma, which says, by your name, they will call you.
and your proper place, they will seat you. And that which is destined for you will be given to you. No person can touch that which is prepared for his friend, even a hair's breadth. A lot of people think my life path is I got to be successful. I got to be... But there's only one way to be successful. That's through being a... Don't choose that path. Yeah, you might get money at the end of the day, you're right. But you're going to have negabatim. Hashem determined that the guy had to make that money that year. Guess which way he's going to get it? Through everybody laughing in his face and saying, yeah, big deal. So what? Anybody can do that. That's the Nebuch situation here. You have to make a decision for yourself, and it's a very difficult decision. And I'm not, you know, I don't want calls from your parents and you know, saying, hey, why'd you convince my son not to be a lawyer? Every Jew has to be a lawyer or a doctor. He's a little bit off, maybe an accountant. You know, like, but that's not the way that it should be. And this is not a rabbinist thing you have to make. But think about your life path. Meaning, you could be a doctor, but there's a lot of different types of doctors. And when you go to a medical school, you'd be like, okay, I could be that doctor. I will never, ever be home for the rest of my life. I can be this type of accountant. I will never, ever see my children. I will never have time to learn. I will never be spiritual again. In a way, I will be a negabatim. I'll earn money honestly, but what will I show? What will I have? What are we earning money for? Wall Street Journal article was 2 years ago about the $100,000 Pesach programs. About the so I can go to Cancun, so I can get stuck in Mexico with all those people who were stuck last week. I don't know what happened exactly. That's it. So what? So I have to stay home for Pesach, but I get to see my children. I get to go to their sitter play, their birthday parties. Nobody says you shouldn't. Of course I want you to be rich. I want you to give money to the yeshiva. But it's got to be in the right way. It's got to be parnasa b'chavod in the way you say, wait, this isn't the way I'm supposed to earn money. We have to be careful. And Hashem's going to find that path no matter what. I'll end off with a story that I just happened to stance to go, and I found a rabbi who spoke this week. There's a website, I think I saw this on, and it's an app, actually. I have an app, so I like to listen to Shurim. So they have an app which is a live Shurim. So you can click it, and it has whoever's giving Shur then. It's very cool. So I clicked on it, and there was a Shur. I just want to give the right. There was a shiur from some rabbi. I have no idea what the rabbi is. I didn't think I would use it, but this was on Kol HaLashon, and he's giving a live shiur. I don't know in Yerushalayim. I don't. Who knows? It was in Hebrew, so let's call it Yerushalayim. And he says, "I have to tell you the story. I just heard the story this week." The guy says, "He says, and the story doesn't make so much sense as you'll hear at the end because I don't know when this incident actually happened." But he says, "The story is true. I'll tell you, I know all the story. I know everything. You can come to me later. I'll tell you. I couldn't come to him later. So I'll shiur online. But okay, fine." Guy's a taxi cab driver in Jewish guy, I don't think religious, in London. He picks up a fare and Nebuch, he's not such a good driver, he drives on the wrong side of the road. Anyway, so fine. So he picks up a fare and it's a religious woman, 3 kids going to America apparently. Get in the car, he mentions, I'm also Jewish. She says, okay, we got to get there. You know, like I got the 3 kids, got to check in 2 hours before. Blah, blah. He says, as luck would have it, this was not the day for this lead. We get to right on the highway. What do you call the highway there?
Motorway.
What?
Motorway.
God bless you. We get on the motorway and boom, pop, flat tire. He's like, don't worry about it, honey. I know how to, fix flat tire. Goes to the side of the road, fixes the tire. Real mamish in no time. Takes about 15 minutes. She's like, okay, they get a little bit. Fine. He keeps going, goes now, another few minutes, boom, another tire pops. He pulls over, he's like, yeah, we got a problem here. I got no, I got no tire. So no to do. The lady's flipping out. No, you got to. So he feels really bad. He's a Jewish guy, wants the lady to catch the flight. He starts flagging down people to try to accommodate. He gets a cab, mamish pulls over. I don't know how this is possible.
right, is able to get him, gets him in a car to a service station, gets exactly the tire he needs, flips it, shkoyach, go. Thank God. They get there and she's like, you know, and just as they're approaching the airport, about, she's at 10 minutes out from the airport, all of a sudden there's stop traffic, right? And everybody goes, boom, a truck that was in front of him, I can't believe this is true, truck in front of him, something falls out of the truck onto the windshield cracks. He's like, what kind of day am I having? This is a horrible day. He writes down everything, and she's like, no, forget it. I'll pay for the windshield. Just forget about it. I got to get to the airport. She's like, I got to write down it. Insurance, whole thing. They write down all the information, whatever. So the guy literally got no windshield. The thing's coming in. And finally, he sees the airport. And there's that exit sign. Okay, it's a little bit before. There's traffic. He says, I got to get this lady to the airport. He really mamish on time. And he goes off. You know, sometimes you go a little bit before onto the service lane. Gets out. And Baruch Hashem, he's lucky. There is a popo waiting for him. That's what they call it, right? A popo waiting for him on the side, right? Who's going down. He was waiting for someone like this to cut into the lane. He's got to pull over. The guy pulls over. He's got these weird wheels, the weird tires on. He's got no windshield. I mean, this is a dream for any police officer. He says to the guy, what are you, crazy, you nuts? And he starts writing him ticket after ticket. And she's screaming. He says, listen, I got to get this woman to the airport. Please, I'll give you my wallet. I'll be right back. Let me just get it. Because you're crazy. You can't get the... Fine. She's cursing him out. Hates him. Whole thing. They're obviously going to miss their flight. And they miss their flight. And that's it. Story's over. He pulls over into the parking lot. He had the worst day ever. And he sleeps. Literally. He's like, he's dead. This is the worst ride he ever had in his life. He falls asleep. And he wakes up an hour later in the parking lot, and he starts driving. As he turns on, no windshield, no nothing, he turns on the radio, and the old radio's on one thing. Flight coming out of Heathrow Airport crashed. It was her flight. But guess what? It wasn't her flight, because she didn't get on that flight. And he runs back. He turns, makes a sivuv around, he runs into the airport and he says, this Peter, and they're like, no. They weren't on the plane. The people weren't on the plane. Because he's so excited, and he says, I know where he picked her up from. He runs back to the house. And he says, you never went into a house like this, this Jewish guy tells. Never, like missing Shiv in the house. They know she's dead. She's dead. They know she's dead. It's just a matter of when they're going to find out. And they're crying out, and he comes in like an angel of God, and he's like, your wife is not dead. You're like, what are you talking about? How dare you? Who the hell are you? He's like, look outside of my car. I'm a cab. Like, you're not a cab. Look at you. Your car is all up. He goes, no. I'm the cab. I promise you. This is the story. And it's unbelievable now. And the guy's throwing thousands of dollars. He goes, here, take all my money. I can't believe it. Meanwhile, the wife's in the air. She has no idea what's going on, right? It was the most unbelievable story. And he said, me'evil yontif, it turned into this horrible day that he had. He's like the guy that saved a life. So the rabbi just ends off by saying, when Hashem has his way, when Hashem chooses your path, Hashem decided she's gonna miss her flight. So maybe it was one tire going off and she's saying, this is weird. Maybe I shouldn't go. And maybe the second tire, she's like, ah. And maybe the second tire, he wouldn't be able to. God decides this all would happen. And Hashem chooses for you what your path should be. You just got to listen to the messages that Hashem is giving you. He's given us a message almost 70 years ago of Medina Yisrael, and he's saying, hey, come back here. What are you doing? So you got to figure that out. And Hashem's also screaming at you, hey, what are you doing in your life? It's got to be something that leads to the right path. And Mirtz Hashem, with the lesson of Negabatim, we should be zeicha to choose the right path in life that will give nachas ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which ultimately will bring Mashiach Tzidkenu b'meheirah v'yameinu. Amen.